Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU.
Before we jump off into today's podcast, I have to tell you about NAHU's 2022 annual convention. Did you know that registration is open for NAHU's 2022 annual convention? Join your colleagues from June 25th through 28th in Austin, Texas, at one of the most innovative, productive, and fun meetings that you will ever attend. We are very excited about our new NAHU Marketplace, showcasing innovative new products and services. If you want to make yourself more valuable to your clients, this convention is where you need to be. Registration is now open for in-person and live stream options. You can register for the event and view the preliminary agenda on NAHU.org. Register now.
All right, well, we're back with another installment. I'm really excited. I know I say this every single time, Eugene, but this is literally one of my most favorite people in the NAHU space. Today, we have the Dawn McFarland.
Unbelievable.
How did we do this? I don't know. We've got some connections.
We do. It's almost like I'm present or something.
It is.
You guys, come on.
Well, I really, truly, I've learned so much from you, and I've hopefully forged a friendship with you, unless it's just me that thinks we're friends. That happens sometimes.
You know
sometimes.
I love you to death. You know I love you.
Eugene, we've got a lot to cover with Dawn, and we have a little bit of time, so yeah. Why don't you kick us off?
Well, Dawn, thank you for being here. Thank you for really the friendship you've given all of us and all the work that you've done. And Dawn, really, I want, as much as we know you, it's hard to believe that maybe the whole world doesn't know you as well.
That's a really good way to put it. I feel like everybody knows the sunshine that is Dawn McFarland.
Aww, exactly. You guys are being too much right now.
You know, you're a member of NAHU. You have been for a couple of years at least, right?
A few, yeah. This is my 10-year anniversary of being licensed, actually. I got licensed right as ACA.
I just want to tell you, just kind of reflecting back, when I got my license, I was working for a PPO, and I went out on my own and got my insurance license. And I remember sitting in the office when it came in the mail, and I said to myself, this was my ticket to freedom, that I wasn't going to work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate you sharing that. To me, that's a very exciting thing, because now the opportunity is open for you to be who you want, mm-hmm, and to serve who you want. So excellent. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it. It's been a long journey, actually, figuring out where I fit.
I think it is for all of us.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about where you fit, though, because one of the things that Eugene and I like to highlight is, as he so eloquently put it, is the diversity in our association. And a lot of us work on group business. Some of us are in the self-funded space. Some of us are in alternative payment methods. But you do something a little bit different. So you are the expert when it comes to Medicare and individual, is what I understand. And I know nothing about that. So technically, she's my expert, too.
Right.
How did you get into this?
Well, actually, I started in the voluntary space working with group brokers. But what fit for me, I didn't want to build a team. And you really need to build a team when you're in that space to be able to continue to produce. Mm-hmm. And that didn't fit so well for me, because my real goal since I was 12 was to be a therapist.
Oh, yeah?
I like the one-on-one experience. Mm-hmm. It took me a really long time to not think of the group environment, because I know so many people push towards group and they think that that's where you should be. But I found that it just works really well for me to have that one-on-one experience. I know I like helping people, and I, mm-hmm, like seeing the result of that immediately. So I started the Medicare Summits in Los Angeles when Maggie and Yoli had started Medicare Summits nationally, and that was when I was president of the Los Angeles chapter. Realized the opportunity, but I wasn't quite ready to make the jump. Took a few years, made the jump into Medicare, and my first AEP was so rewarding to have those conversations with seniors who had no idea. Like, they were so confused, and it was so, I like having gratitude every single day, and I felt grateful. I felt gratitude towards me, and I felt so grateful to be able to help people every, mm-hmm, single day. I also help people with Covered California and individual plans. That builds a pipeline for my Medicare business, but it's also one of the biggest spaces. I feel that there's so much confusion. And if we can help people understand how to access care properly, if we can help them figure out why they're paying the premiums or what plan makes the most sense based on how they're going to use the plan. That I love it. I love helping people figure
well,
it out.
Well, I like what you said. In this industry, we have many roles and we really are therapists.
It's true.
And I think in the group space and you deliver a 35% rate increase, it's like, and then you're starting to talk, you're starting to talk through how we're going to mitigate that, right. But it's like, you kind of see them hyperventilate, their heads rolling about how it's going to impact their budget and all that kind of stuff. But what you do, I think in a lot of ways is more complex than what I do in the group space. Mm-hmm. And what I think about is you're communicating one-on-one. And let me just say, somebody, an individual out on his own or her own in the marketplace is lost. They are a ship without a rudder or sails or anything. Yeah. And I think of the advantage I have when I go in to work with a group, because I've got the HR team and maybe the owners and the people that are all helping with the messaging. You're finding these little boats floating out on the water, and you've got to teach them how to sail.
Yep. Yes.
So, I mean, tell me about that.
I don't even know what examples to give you.
Well, you kind of said already, I mean, you engage with these people, and I see this, and people come to me, and it's like, well, I can't help you with that. But, people turn 65, and I know y'all are shocked that some of my friends are turning 65. And so they're like, I'm getting all these emails and all this mail, and I'm like, And I really have a very good friend that is our Medicare specialist. He doesn't work for me. Trust me, he doesn't need to work for me. He's his own guy. But I tell him, throw all that away, and I'm going to give you Jim's number.
Mm-hmm. I am right. So happy when I hear from someone before they turn 65. If I can get them 6 months before they turn 65, it is so much easier and more of a relief for them, because they're not confused by all of the stuff that comes at them, because I've explained it. That's the thing about Medicare. It took me a year to even feel comfortable. I didn't want to mess a senior citizen up with their healthcare. Like, that was so important to me. So it took me a full year to feel comfortable selling a policy. And that was shadowing mentors through the association is most of where my mentorship has come from. It was just really diving in, soaking up any piece of information I could, because it's so important in how we guide these seniors. And then once you understand it, it's really not that complicated.
Yeah.
So what I've found is that once you understand it, you can explain it pretty easily to a senior. And then once they get it, because you understand it so well, you're able to give them that information in a way they can digest it. All the time I hear, oh, okay. And once you hear that sigh, it's almost like a whole, you can almost feel through the phone or through Zoom, you can almost feel their whole body just relax.
Right.
Oh,
Yeah.
So you really are a therapist. Working with a vulnerable population, no offense, Eugene.
Yeah.
That is really lost, right? Because you're
We're going to go do box jumps after this.
You're doing box jumps, not me.
And I'm not either.
But you are, right? It takes a certain type of person, which is you, to deal with people on a one-on-one basis. I think, not to dismiss the work that we do, Eugene, in the group setting, but we really have the ability to blanket something over a much larger population and say, this is what it is, and we'll train you and we'll teach you in groups, knowing that most people aren't paying a lick of attention to us in open enrollment, and they're going to throw that packet out right away. But when they get to Medicare eligibility, they really do need a therapist.
I think that's actually a really good way. That's probably why I'm so happy doing what I do, because it suits what I really wanted to do.
Well, if you don't mind, I want to pivot a little bit into your leadership. You are our first, I don't even know if you know this, Eugene, but Dom serves as our vice chair on leadership development. So when we were putting my committee together, succession planning was very important to us. We wanted to walk the walk, not just say, put a succession plan in place. When we were building out these really big programs, we came to you and said, would you please come in after the vice so that we know that someone like you is going to be in place to keep these programs rolling forward. So this is your first year on the leadership development committee. How do you like it?
So far, it's really fun. This Capital Conference is going to be my first real job on the committee, leading with the Emerging Leader panel. I love personal development anyways. Mm-hmm. And so the leadership development is very close to my heart. It's also how I feel like I've grown in the industry. Coming to these leadership forums made such an impact as I've grown in leadership over the time.
I love it. I love leadership development. And what I know is you've been engaged oh, this is your first time and your first job at CapCon in this leadership role. You've been engaged in leadership in California for a long time and recently had a very important mission, which was met with great success and a lot of work. So that's very cryptic because I want you to tell people what you've been involved in.
Single payer came to California, and it's not our first fight. It's the second fight I've actually been involved in. And 5 years ago, we had SB 562. We just fought AB 1400. And I would say, I really think about what's, even if it put me out of a job, I think about what is best for people. Like, I want what is the right thing for people in general. To the core of my being, do not think a government-run healthcare is the right thing for people. Mm-hmm. I feel like that just, it limits our choice. So we were very successful in California in defeating it this time. It's not over. There's still Healthy California for All Commission that we've been sitting on that's going to propose ways to do unified financing. And it's not going to be over until we figure out how to fix the disparities that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't love the fight. I kind of do, you know. I mean, it just... It's something we have to be in.
Yeah.
But I love what you said because, and I've been saying this as I go around and speak to different chapters, I do not believe one size fits all and the government is the solution for giving people access to quality, affordable health care. I believe the solutions are in the private sector, whether it's in the individual space or in the group space. And I love the way you said that. What I've been saying is because of this impasse, we have the opportunity to create the solution.
Yep.
While they're there staring at each other, trying to advance this monolithic single-payer system, we have the opportunity now. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here in D.C. today as part of that mission to reshape and create private sector solutions.
Yeah, no, I agree that that's such a huge value of what NAHU. People say with membership that there are the people who really love the legislative part, how active and how impactful we are legislatively. And there are people who really love the networking and the professional development. There's all of these pieces and all of the pieces matter. But what our real work is shaping healthcare. If we're doing it right, our real work is shaping healthcare. And it's a overtime process. I think we've made great strides. ACA started rough. We've done a lot of great things in the meantime to create little fixes that have been helpful.
Mm-hmm. I love that because I was around, Dawn, 10 years ago. You might have been around. Yeah. When the ACA passed, and it was very rough, but instead of only digging in and saying we have to throw the baby out with the bath, we started saying, okay, what's not working? Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to fix some things like employer reporting. That's one of the things we'll talk about while we're here for a capital conference. But we've done exactly that, Dawn, is we've gone out, we've found the things we could fix, and we fixed them. And then we just move on to the next thing we hope we can fix.
Yep.
And that's the strength of our association. And Dawn, I'm going back and all the stuff you've done to beat down single payer in California. And we talked about it earlier. I mean, Dawn is such a beacon of light, sunshine. And then I've seen her. And then when I saw how engaged you were on the legislative side, I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was in your portfolio of passions and strengths.
I think though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I get from you a lot is that you will not tolerate injustices where you find them. And I recently did a project. I'd love for the two of you to do it as well. It's a project that Dr. Alex Lickerman wrote about, and it's about finding your mission. And you come up with one sentence that defines what you're dedicating your life to. And you probably won't ever achieve it, but you'll contribute to it every single day. Mm-hmm. And one of mine, which I suspect is going to be very near to Dawn's when she walks away and does this project of her own accord, is to reverse the injustices of the U.S. healthcare system as I find them. And I'm probably never going to do that in my lifetime, but Dawn and I are for sure going to turn over that rock and keep trying to reverse it. And even last night when I was talking to you, Dawn, you talked about policy. You talked about changing policy for the betterment of people that are consuming healthcare. That's kind of the vibe I get from you. Am I kind of on the right track?
Yeah, I think you're right on. And I think that's actually something we make a mistake in leadership. Don't assume. We need to ask what people are passionate about for when they serve, right? And we don't know what everybody's interested in until we start seeing where they're going to engage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to pull it out of people. I did not pay attention to civics. I have learned so much of civics in my association experience. That's been incredible for me because now I understand. I have so much more patience where I may not have had patience before because I understand like there's a whole background that we have to work with when mm-hmm. we're trying to change policy and when we're trying to make an impact. So I will drink Nahu Kool-Aid because it's been so beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go to Emma. I love the way you described it, fix the injustices in the healthcare system as we come to it. Mm-hmm. And Dawn, that's really what you're doing is you work with all of these people one-on-one as you work on the meta issues of policy and stuff like that. And one of my quotes is, don't grow weary in well-doing.
Right?
It's such a challenge to consistently fight this fight that we're in. Mm-hmm. You know, that one of my favorite stories is this guy is walking along the shoreline and there's thousands upon thousands of starfish washed up on the beach. And the guy's walking down the beach and grabbing these starfish and throwing them back in the water because if they don't get back in the water, they'll die. And a guy comes along and just kind of negative, you know, maybe somebody is not a member of NEHU and says, what are you doing? Look at all of these starfish. You can't possibly make a difference. And the guy bends over and he picks up a starfish and throws it in the water. And he said, I made a difference for that one.
I got goosebumps. I actually have a box of cards and I almost brought them to this conference to hand out. It is that story. And it says, you make a difference.
Yes. And you do make a difference. And I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your leadership. You're making a difference for all of us, making us happy today. And we're going to go out and do some great things.
Awesome. Thank you guys for making a difference, too.
Thanks so much, Dawn.
Thank you.